Michigan played in the first ever bowl game against Stanford on New Year's Day in 1902. The Wolverines won 49-0, but did not play another bowl game for 46 years. Pasadena did not host another game until 1916, and no other bowl games even existed until 1935, when the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Sun Bowl all started, followed 2 years later by the Cotton Bowl. But the games were just glorified exhibitions, created to reward a few teams with a nice trip and promote southern cities. That started to change in 1948, when Michigan's Fritz Kreisler played matchmaker between the current Big Ten and the Pac-12, who started sending their league champions to play each other at the Rose Bowl every New Year's Day. If you were in second place, however, you only got to play in a bowl if your league champion repeated, because the university presidents did not want their teams to go to a bowl game 2 years in a row. Bowl games were considered so insignificant that Notre Dame did not bother to go to any bowl games at all from 1926 until 1970, and they still won 7 national titles during that stretch. But when Michigan's undefeated 4th-ranked 1973 team tied top-ranked Ohio State and was denied a trip to Pasadena by a vote of athletic directors, the Big Ten ended its 25-year-old ban and let any team in the league go to any bowl game that would have them. Since then, the number of bowl games has more than tripled, from 11 to 35, and they're spread out over a month. New Year's Day used to be reserved for the 4 best bowl games, with a national title determined that day. This year, not one college team played on New Year's Day. The NFL took it over. But 24 teams played in the new year, well into the start of the semester for many schools. On January 8th, Northern Illinois played Arkansas State in the GoDaddy.com Bowl. How many things are wrong with that sentence? Is there anything right about that sentence? Then the next day, scratch that, the next night, Monday, Alabama played Louisiana State in the long-awaited national championship game. It ended close to midnight. How many kids stayed up that late on a school night? Let's hope none. The bowl games were expanded to generate money. For the bowls and the networks, mind you, not the schools and certainly not the players. Dozens of teams lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and their students got little more than injuries. Many of the stadiums were half-filled, and the national title game got the lowest TV ratings in a decade. As one of my friends said, it's January 9th. We've already moved on. And now, of course, the fans and writers are calling for a playoff system. Yes, clearly, we need more games, all played by unpaid athletes who don't get a cent more win or lose, while their coaches can get millions in bonuses for a single bowl victory. Do not ask for whom the buck tolls. It tolls for the adults, not the kids. Why do we need a playoff? To determine a true national champion, we're told. Will removing all doubt about who's college football's national champion really make our lives that much better? Back in 1997, one poll named Michigan the national champion, and the other named Nebraska. Neither team asked for a playoff to settle the issue, and both schools still claim that title. What's so horrible about that? Since then, they changed the system to produce only one national champion each year. Has our happiness gone up accordingly? We need fewer games, not more. And the more they make college football mimic pro football, the more of a minor league the whole thing becomes, the less special it is. The people who understand the actual appeal of college football the least happen to be the very leaders who are changing it the most.